This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. Today we're speaking with Dr. Shireen Peters, founder and medical director at Bethany Medical Clinic of New York, a primary care clinic network in New York City that provides primary and preventative care for busy New Yorkers at 8 clinic locations. Dr. Peters, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you're certainly more than welcome. Our pleasure. Thanks for coming out. Now, today we're talking about why should everyone consider getting the COVID vaccine. So what is actually in the COVID vaccine, Dr. Peters?
Well, there are a number of ingredients that they fall into three major categories. So mRNA, which is genetic material, and it's just a snippet of mRNA, similar to DNA, which is in our own cells. It's a viral version of DNA called mRNA, and just a small sequence, not the entire viral DNA. And then the second ingredient in either vaccine, either the Moderna or the Pfizer, is polyethylene glycol, which is just, it sounds unfamiliar to a lot of people, but it's in very common over-the-counter medications like Miralax. It's in the prep that people drink when they're preparing for a colonoscopy. So really, it's just a kind of lipid, a kind of fatty substance that we use in a lot of over-the-counter medications. So very low potential to give you any kind of reaction or cause any problem for you. And then the third ingredient really is a variety of salts, similar to the salt that you would put on your food. And again, very low potential to give you any kind of problem or allergic response. So really, there's three parts to the mRNA COVID vaccine.
Now, if you would, get into how was the COVID vaccine developed, tested, and mass-produced in such a short time. That was quite amazing to see that.
Well, you know, it does seem like a short time because we really just started talking about it in late summer, and then it was out by December, and most vaccines take many years to be developed and manufactured. But the first piece is that we actually were using the same technology, mRNA technology, in different areas in medicine for over a decade. So cancer therapy, things along those lines, used mRNA technology, and it was developed over 20 years ago and has been effective and tested in a different kind of setting for a different reason before being used for this vaccine. And the second piece is, you know, we were able to start working on developing a vaccine once we had the COVID virus or COVID-19 virus fully sequenced, genetically sequenced. And that actually happened in the second week of January in 2020. So we knew what we were going after, and we started the development process way back in January, even though we weren't talking about it a lot in the media. The work has been ongoing since then. So we're actually talking about the span of a year versus just a few months for developing the vaccine. And the third piece is that we lifted a lot of regulations. So, you know, the FDA and certain other regulatory organizations usually require overkill in terms of testing and data that needs to be produced. And it costs a lot of money, and it takes a long time to raise that money. But because we're facing the COVID-19 pandemic, a lot of governments, a lot of international and national organizations kind of lifted all their barriers in terms of funding and really put a lot of resources behind aggressively developing the COVID-19 vaccine. So a lot of the obstacles that are faced when we're developing other vaccines, or when we have developed other vaccines in the past, were not an issue this time because it was such a pressing need and such an urgent concern. So we funded it well, is the short answer.
Yeah, certainly some good information, and really appreciate your input there. Most helpful. Now, I'm sure a curiosity would be amongst the listeners, can you get COVID from the COVID vaccine?
It's actually not possible to get COVID from any of the COVID vaccines that we have available to us because they are not live vaccines. So the COVID vaccine does not actually contain COVID virus. It contains a tiny snippet of the DNA of the virus, so not the whole viral particle, and it's not the same as exposing yourself to the COVID virus. So it's actually just not possible to get COVID from the COVID vaccine.
And there you have it. You've got it straight from Dr. Shireen Peters on that today. We are with Dr. Shireen Peters, founder and medical director at Bethany Medical Clinic of New York, a primary care clinic network in New York City that provides primary and preventative care for busy New Yorkers at 8 clinic locations. And she's joined us here today on eHealth Radio's Health News Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, what did the Pfizer and Moderna clinical trials for the COVID vaccine show? Get into some of those details.
So both Pfizer and Moderna were working on the similar vaccines, but independently. So they were each developing their own vaccines and not communicating at all, which I think is really important that everyone knows. So it's not like they were both working together on a vaccine. They were separately developing their own vaccines using mRNA technology. And what the product that each of them came out with was tested independently. So the Pfizer trials were totally separate from the Moderna trials. But the data they came up with is very, very similar, which is very encouraging that these are strong, effective, and reliable vaccines because they were developed totally separately using the same technology, and we came up with the same, very similar results. So the Pfizer trial showed that 95% of the around 40,000 people that were tested with the Pfizer vaccine were protected against getting any COVID infection afterwards. So they were protected from developing COVID at all. And then the Moderna vaccine actually showed very similar number of 94.5% protection rate from COVID. But that's protection from severe illness, so from illness requiring hospitalization or from death from COVID. And actually, both vaccines are 100% effective at preventing severe illness from COVID. So even though we talk about them only being 95% effective, they are 100% effective at preventing severe COVID illness, which I think is just important to keep in mind. So if you get vaccinated, you can be sure that you are not going to develop severe COVID illness after your vaccine.
And that is certainly significant and important, isn't it?
Right, absolutely.
Dr. Peters, one last question. Now, if one had COVID already, should they still get the COVID vaccine? We'd like to hear your input on that as we conclude today.
The short answer is yes. Many state governments are advising that you wait 3 months after having COVID before you consider getting the vaccine. So say, you know, you were diagnosed with COVID in October, you wait November, December, January, and then consider getting the vaccine. But that's not for safety reasons. It really is because the vaccine is in short supply, and we believe the vast majority of people are immune to COVID for around 3 months at least after they have COVID infection. So if you recover from COVID infection, we think you're going to be immune for about 3 months. So authorities are advising to wait 3 months because it's not advisable to get the shot right away when you don't need it and potentially take that shot away from someone else who does need it, if that makes sense.
It certainly does make sense, and really do appreciate your pointing that detail out as well. Anything else you'd like to share, a closing thought, takeaway, tip, anything else you'd like to mention as we officially wrap it up?
Sure. I mean, I'd actually just like to state and make it really clear that the COVID-19 vaccines that we have from Moderna and Pfizer in particular, but AstraZeneca also, and all the brands that are available to us in the United States are really the most effective vaccines that we have ever had for anything. So Although they're new, the data that we have already is overwhelmingly positive, and the adverse reactions have been very minimal and really shouldn't pose any significant risk, or should not make people fearful to get the COVID-19 vaccine. They're more effective, and the risk really the benefit outweighs the risk more significantly than for any other vaccine that we've ever had in history. So,
really appreciate your coming on to cover this. Certainly timely, and it's so important as we're living in these COVID-19 pandemic days. Still, things are looking up and looking more positive with this vaccine. Tell us, where can listeners get more information on you and your various clinics there around New York City? Where's the best place online to do so?
Sure, you can visit our website, so www.bmcofny.com. And there are resources there. You could sign up for our mailing list. We would love to see anyone who's in New York as a patient, and we take all major insurances.
Dr. Peters, again, thank you so much for your time. I know you're busy, but we certainly appreciated your taking a moment to be with us here today on eHealth Radio. All the best.
Thank you so much. Really enjoyed talking to you.
And I certainly did as well. Hopefully we can get you back on with various updates along the way. Again, we've been speaking with Dr. Shireen Peters, founder and medical director at Bethany Medical Clinic of New York, a primary care clinic network in New York City that provides primary and preventative care for busy New Yorkers at 8 clinic locations. And for all the details, visit bmcofny.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.